It's okay if you missed your favorite show. Podcasts are ready. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here.
This is Chicago's home for sports. This is ESPN 1000.
Into ESPN 1000. Xander and Hanley here on a Saturday morning for about an hour and a half or so leading up to White Sox Weekly with Connor McKnight. So, Brian, Cubs inspired, White Sox not so inspired.
For the season, for the week?
For yesterday, for sure. but it's a daily mission, as we've said. Look, the Cubs, they're taking on their rival. They've got nothing to lose. They're playing with energy. That was nice to see. The White Sox, I can't remember a game that was more boring than that one last night. And I texted.
Hold on.
Except for the most exciting point was when Michael Kopech hit the Baltimore batter. His what's his name? I'm blanking out now.
Well, look.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Kopech had walks. He had stolen bases. Didn't remember.
That mound awareness, Brian, is driving me nuts.
And then he had the balk. I mean, he had the buffet of bad for pitching, but
he did.
That said, when you are facing Austin Voth, he of the 8.39 ERA coming into that game, I haven't seen a whip that started with a 2 in quite some time. But Mr. Voth was there for you, and you managed one hit and one.
I know
run.
That's what I'm saying. Totally uninspired. Tell me they can't do it. What did they just do against the Blue Jays? The Blue Jays are every bit better than the Orioles, but the Orioles seem to want to play. And what last night, the White Sox did not want to play. And you're right, Kopech. I still don't get the balk. Did you see? Did he move his leg twice? Is that what the balk was about? Or was it moving the ball? Steve Stone was like, wait a minute, he's allowed to breathe. Steve Stone, the Cy Young award-winning pitcher, was not able to pick it out. So
I'm glad you brought Stoney up because if you follow him on Twitter. Stoney has very little time for naysayers, for Sox naysayers. Mm-hmm. And someone suggested to at Steve Stone, and I love Stoney. And I've shared many a meal with him when I was covering the White Sox and enjoyed our time together. But he's trying to figure out this team too. And he's still very optimistic that they're going to find their stride somewhere and start winning. But someone said to him, this is a soft team. And Steve took umbrage at that and said,
I saw that tweet.
Basically said, it started a whole feed, a Twitter feed of responses. That
he called them keyboard commandos, right?
Yeah, exactly right. Yes. And obvious shirts might come up with something like that. That might be an idea, keyboard commandos.
It's a fabulous idea.
But his point is that you're not soft if you make it to the major leagues. Now, the debate widened with people saying, okay, I'll buy that. But could it be that players, once they get to the major leagues, forgot how hungry they were to get to the big leagues, to the show, and they start taking things for granted? Look, this White Sox team, and I have to apologize. Voice a little rough today. I finally met Mr. COVID this week.
Boy, I have not met Mr. COVID. Did you shake his hand? You shook his hand, didn't you?
I got 2.5 years into it and did everything I was supposed to do. But, you know, you go to a party or whatever. And I've noticed some other people in my family not at the same party, but this week got it too, who were fully vaccinated and boosted. So I don't know if it's anecdotal. I hope there isn't a wave coming. But I think, thankfully, I do have 4 shots, so I sound a lot worse than I feel. I feel great.
Right. It's a for most who have been vaccinated, as we know by science, it's a fleeting thing.
Yeah, I basically, you know, I've had worse allergy days. It's just congestion. But anyway, that said, back to Stoney. So it started this whole thing about, because everyone's trying to figure out why a team that's supposedly this good and ready to contend for a World Series this year is still 3 games under 500. Every week, they're still 4.5 back of a wild card spot, let alone trying to win the division. Yeah. That is a not very. It might be the worst division It probably is the worst division
that everybody thought that they were going to sit on top of for most of the year.
Exactly. So, I mean, right now they are 16th by record in all Major League Baseball. Our buddy Will Chase tweeted out during the game, tweeted to us yesterday. We were both watching the game, obviously individually. He said, basically, could it be the White Sox are no better than a 500 team? And I tweeted back at him what Bill Parcells used to say: you are what your record says you are.
Yep.
Now, Stoney can believe that injuries and everything else, weigh into sub 500 and on the outside look into the playoff picture. But it's tough to explain. I mean, people are criticizing coaching, the fundamentals, running into each other. The team ERA is now 12th or 13th in the league, which is not as good as you'd hoped. And Stoney said, it's been a team effort. But if they're not soft, what are they? Is it bad coaching? Our Twitter poll question today, someone, R. Hendricks, at R. Hendricks 11, said to Stoney, basically, so are we talking about bad coaching or lazy players? And he said, draw your own conclusions. So our Twitter poll is going to be conclude away. Is it bad coaching?
Well, boy, Stoney, you could read Stoney's answer, right?
Right, exactly.
And of course he's a company man. He can't really say it, but it is.
Well,
what
he
is.
He used to say it up on the north side. He said it.
Oh, I know, but he's probably learned a little, don't you think? Hopefully.
He says what he wants to say. Maybe he does believe in this team. I haven't talked to Stoney in a long time. I think since Mike Lee.
Right, but that non-answer is clearly an answer after he said players aren't lazy.
Right, right. I mean, he's like, you sound dismayed when you talk about TLR ain't going anywhere. The fact of the matter is this team is underperformed. We're about to turn the page on June and get into July. We'll be a month away from the trade deadline. Mm. You're still underachieving. Your run differential is still horrific. All the things we've been talking about for 2 months.
Yep.
Hasn't improved.
And has not gone away. These issues have not gone away. Now, sometimes when we're playing the Blue Jays, we got those wins.
Okay.
They come back. It went away for a day, but there's no sustained success. There is one step up, two steps back.
Yeah. As soon as you tweet that out. I mean, as soon as you hit 500, Steve Greenberg tweeted out, they don't do the 500 thing very well. It's like they can't get over that psychological hump. They can't hit the accelerator. Now, you consider and talk about all the guys who are not available, and that you add a few more to the list because, good Lord, Danny Mendick, who's been doing terrific things for the White Sox.
I don't want to see Adam Haseley in a Sox uniform again.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many questions here. And unfortunately, and we'll hear from Rick Hahn, who was talking this week. I mean, there are no easy answers, but there better be answers eventually, because otherwise – this is a wasted season completely.
We've lost it. Yeah, we've lost a year. If there are no answers quick, we have definitely lost a year. And the Orioles, they're a young team. They have improved. We've heard that their bullpen is better. And I'll be damned if I've ever thought that I would see a team whose bullpen day may be better than a typical starter day.
Yeah, I mean, look, the White Sox right now are the Texas Rangers. I mean, by record. And the Orioles have an expected record a few games better than their actual record. And the White Sox we talked about this a few weeks ago. They're running in place. They have a better
record. And they're tiring themselves out in the process.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. Things that I noticed last night, Kopech's lack of mound awareness. Now, I know he's a young guy, and we're going to have the typical Kopech bashers. He's been pretty solid. Yesterday was not a great night. When he hit the Orioles player, and I still can't. Charlie, what's his name? Do you remember what his name is? Why can't I remember this guy's name? Anyway, when he hit that player, that was about the most exciting thing. The mound awareness, though, when he is not paying attention to people that are going to steal a base, is just, I mean, he put a guy on third. He basically put a guy at third. He should have just waved him all the way to third. And then he balked him in, which obviously you cannot do. Now, we lost 4-1. And our offense did not give any support to Kopech.
No,
but that was a run that certainly was preventable.
Okay, but you had one hit and three base runners against two guys who had a combined ERA of 11. Right. I mean,
I know. Uninspired. That's the word.
Brian Baker comes in with the 5.60 ERA and the 1.537 WHIP, and he gets four up, four down, and looks like, you know, he's just Mr. Automatic. You got to be better than that. You have to be better. You can't let these guys.
Weren't we better than that against Verlander? I mean, what is happening?
You tell me. I mean,
it's mind-boggling.
It has really been. It's been a little bit of everything, and mostly not good. And you know, so you get Jake Berger, and his defense is not iffy. I mean, that would be a disservice to iffy, but at least offensively, he's helping.
Jorge Mateo is his name. He's the shortstop. Mateo, the speedy guy that he hit, and he got home.
Yeah, well, he stole two bases. Richie Martin, not Ricky Martin. Richie Martin stole two bases. Yes. I mean, he was between second and third, and Kopech didn't even know he was behind him. I'm going to give Michael Kopech a pass because that offense didn't even have the good intent of making an issue of that game last night.
Right. However, he has his own issues. And again, that mound awareness thing, that's little league stuff. Just like that collision between Haseley and Mendick. That's little league stuff.
Absolutely.
That is driving us up the wall. Where are the fundamentals? Are we reminding people of fundamentals? Are we shouting from the bench, watch second base? I mean, this is simple stuff that I remember doing 40 years ago as a kid.
Absolutely. Look, and Joe McEwing's now under fire for being too aggressive, waving guys in because there's Gavin Sheets getting thrown out, not even close. 13 guys who got nailed at the plate reminded me of Waving Wendell Kim with the Cubs. They gave him the nickname because never met a guy who wouldn't want to send in and get thrown out. But Tony says, well, guess what? Our offense isn't good enough, so now we have to be more aggressive.
Well, and I kind of get that thought, although it's still a bad choice. Yeah, but it's still a bad choice. However, I get that because we're not getting it done. We have to make other moves. Fat Mike, our old buddy in Chicago, he's got to jump on here, wants to talk about the Sox here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Fat Mike.
What's going on, fellas? Good morning. How we doing?
Good. What you got?
So this is what's been kind of complexing me and perplexing me over the last couple of weeks watching this White Sox team. If they keep on floundering, playing 500 ball at best or under 500 baseball, going into this time next month, are they buyers or sellers at the trade deadline?
Well, you wouldn't be buying. I mean, if you're three or four games back of the wild card, why would you do that? I mean, what could you possibly trade? Could you make?
Well, but I get what Mike is saying because sometimes something counterintuitive is exactly what they're going to end up doing, and hopefully not. But yeah, if we're three or four back, I would hope that we're selling. There are a few pieces we could sell. Just don't touch Andrew Vaughn.
And who do you sell?
You have a thought, Mike? You got someone on your list?
Yeah, you know, I'm good with Jimenez going. I mean, I know he's injured, but
well,
you
can't get anything for him right now.
Yeah,
you can't
stay
healthy. You can't afford to use baseballs for Eloy Jimenez.
I know, unfortunately.
No. Hey, thanks, Mike. Thanks for your call. Yeah. Look, that's a legitimate question because you are what your record says you are. Here's the thing. You can sit there and say, well, they, you know, maybe get to a wild card team. We've seen them compete a couple games against the Blue Jays. We've seen them get wiped out in Toronto against the Blue Jays. It's not the Blue Jays. Can you sit there and look at the Yankees and look at Houston and look at some of the upper echelon top tier teams and say you're anywhere close to being a competitive team, even if you're healthy? There have been so many, you know, different issues on the field.
But we haven't been healthy, so it really is – one of those things that we can't even judge. Now, we can make assumptions, but we have not had the team as constructed, all the starters on the field once this year. If we have, it's only been for a game, maybe two.
Okay, but
we still don't know what that's going to equal.
Does that cure your base running ills? Does it cure your defensive ills? Does it cure your lack of power?
Not necessarily at all.
I mean, the other night, everyone's celebrating on Thursday night that they're hitting balls to the warning track with nothing to show for it. I mean, they've scored one run against the Baltimore Orioles. Okay, loud outs. We're now applauding loud outs. I mean,
I know. But we have beat the Yankees and we did beat Houston. So what is this team? certainly we can't sustain what we should be able to sustain. And we've got, you know, those very fundamental issues that are causing. The other night, did you see where Leori was playing? He got eaten up. Where's the coaching staff to tell him to put himself in a better position in center? Night before last when Luis Robert had the day off. You saw that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's – and right there, that's coaching. And, you know, Steve Stone probably said as much on the broadcast without maybe saying as much. So I think there's a lot to coaching. If you want to jump in, 312-332-3776, we'll talk more about this. We'll hear some audio from Rick Hahn. He joined Cap and Jay Hood on the program yesterday morning, yeah, Friday morning, on the morning show. We will also hear some other audio and take your ideas as to what you saw last night and what the real problem is with the White Sox. If we want to talk Cubs, we'll do that as well. We've got a lot to cover here, and we'll get back to it here on ESPN 1000 with Xander and Hanley next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
You know, I share Tony's sentiment, which I thought he put perfectly when he said essentially that we much prefer them to be there and to care the way they do. And even if they're expressing it in a way that perhaps is negative towards him, it shows that they're passionate, they're invested, and they care. That's so much better than being indifferent or being absent or feeling like they're unable to express themselves. So obviously we all want to be winning on a more consistent basis and fulfilling the promise that we see in this roster, which hopefully after a solid road trip last week and turn to Tim Anderson and our guys starting to get a little healthier over the next stretch, we're able to do so that, you know, those boos and criticisms turn into cheers. But fundamentally, you know, it's frankly, I view it as a passionate fan base expressing themselves, and that's precisely what all of us want.
Rick Hahn, Senior Vice President, General Manager of the Chicago White Sox, joining Cap and Hoodie yesterday, and that was after they lost game one of the series to the Orioles. Yesterday, last night's performance, much less inspired than game one. Wouldn't you agree, Brian? Even though the result was the same. Two losses.
And you can't win at home. I mean, you're 15-20 at home. That doesn't pass a smell test.
No home run. Not yet, right? Barely any home runs at home.
Tim Anderson, the straw that stirs the drinks back, and you can't. And you're now got a three-game losing streak yet again after a winning road trip. Yep. And you're winning a series did you win the series in Houston? I don't know. But you had a winning road trip. So, you know, Rick Hahn there talking about the
fact. And we beat teams a lot better than the Orioles.
Well, not that many because you're 16-23.
Well, I'm saying recently, the Blue Jays and Houston. Yes.
Yeah. But that's it. Every time you think they've turned the corner,
that's exactly right. That's my main.
The block.
Right.
The block again.
Right. It's one step up, two steps back. You should know that. You're a Springsteen fan.
Absolutely. Now, here's the thing. Earlier in the week, Jose Abreu expressed his love and respect for Tony La Russa and said it's not the manager. And, you know, as a leader on the team, was thumb-pointing, not finger-pointing, which is terrific. We've gone over chapter and verse how Tony's not getting fired by Jerry Reinsdorf. It's not going to happen. So Tony then said, in appreciation of Jose Abreu, yet again supporting the manager, saying, that's great to hear because when the players stop listening to you, that's when I have to walk away.
I noticed that, and that may be our only chance.
Okay, so now the onus is on Jose Abreu, not to be a thumb pointer, but a finger pointer. See, that's a really tough spot for even the most frustrated player to have to be in start answering questions about the manager in a different way, other than totally supportive and seemingly sincere that, you know, you respect the guy and you think he's doing a good job. So now the only way that Tony walks away, by his own words, is if he thinks he's losing the clubhouse. And does he have to? Do the players have to publicly start making noise about that to let everyone know that that's the situation? That's untenable too, right? I mean,
yep.
It's so Tony's here. The players are here. If they're healthy, they're on the field. If not, they're, you know, unfortunately, you know, it's each week as someone's added to the IL. So once they all get healthy, everything's great, and they'll win the division, and we'll be looking forward to October baseball and seeing how they stack up against the best teams. I'd like to believe that's all going to fall into place, but I don't believe that's how it's all going to fall into place.
Well, we haven't seen we've seen the corner turn, and then we've seen it turn back.
Yeah,
and
you're in a cul-de-sac.
Yeah, you're in a cul-de-sac just going round and round and round. Willowbrook wants to jump on, just wants to talk about his lack of trust for Han and Kenny Williams. Owen, you're on ESPN 1000 with Hanley and Xander.
Hi, guys. Great show.
Hey,
I think they got the wrong chant going, fire Tony. It's got to be fire Rick Han. The reason being, once again, if you look at the moves this guy made, I'll give him credit for Roberts. I'll give him credit for Vaughn and even Dylan Cease. All right. But look at what we can't get a second base. When we get excited because Josh Harrison has two good nights in a row, out of 60 some games. Get a second baseman. We haven't had a left-handed bat consistent for years.
With those two things right now, Owen, solve our problems. I think the problems are bigger than that.
Oh, they are bigger. I'm just going over a list of things.
Yeah, he's just starting the list. Giolito,
okay.
If you look at Lucas Giolito, the guy had one great half year. Since then, he's been average at best. This guy doesn't know talent, and he doesn't know grinders. The other day against Verlander, it was great. We were hitting the right field. We were taking him the other way with our right-handed bats. Then all of a sudden, boom, we stopped doing that. We're trying to pull everything. They don't walk. He doesn't go after the types of guys that are baseball players. You know, and I got to tell you, and I'm not trying, you know, a lot of these Cuban players that play short years, like 80 games, 60 games, whatever, and even Adam Engel, you know, Ozzy even says these guys are weightlifting so much, they're tearing hamstrings left and right. Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't, I mean, throughout the whole organization, and then the other day, our leader gets picked off 2 days in a row because he's not ready to get back to first base on the second one. And then he gets picked off by the catcher, roaming off first base when there's a guy on second base in front of him.
Yep.
I mean, what is that?
Baseball. That's what that is. That's exactly bad baseball.
And it's because we don't have baseball players. We have athletes, and he doesn't go after guys that know how to play the game.
Thanks for the phone call. Yeah. Thanks, Owen. You're right. We're with you. Look, the fundamentals are terrible. He called out Tim Anderson. They say that he's not running at full speed. You know, I saw and I tweeted earlier this week, Brian, there's so much talk about getting people off their legs this year. Yeah. I've not ever heard that in my life. And I'm no spring chicken.
Well, that's what led to the whole conversation about being soft, because people are saying, what's with all the day offs? Where's the sense of urgency? These guys, you know, well, we have to be careful. And, you know, Louis Robert gets a day off and this guy gets a day off and we got to keep their legs fresh. Hello.
Are other teams doing that? I'm not paying attention so much to other teams. Are they doing that as much as Tony is? I don't think that's the case.
I don't know how many teams, three games under 500 and on the outside looking in the playoffs.
That have all that expectation on their shoulders.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
You are the Texas Rangers right now, and that's not fair to the Texas Rangers because you're squarely 33-36 as their record is. But their run differential is actually a +4 and yours is a -48. It used to be, you know, -55 or whatever the hell it was. It's not appreciably better. So Texas should have a 35-34 record. I don't hear anyone saying, boy, wait till the Rangers get going here because they're a playoff team. No one said it before the year, and no one's saying it now. But we keep believing that's the case with the White Sox. And, you know, it goes back to Will Chase's question yesterday via Twitter. Are they just a 500 team? Right now, that's the aspiration. I mean, it's not even the reality. That's what you're hoping for.
Right. And we had such bigger expectations this year than that. Now, a couple weeks ago, we put a poll up, and I said, if you could DFA a Josh Harrison or a Leury Garcia, and Josh was the overwhelming winner. Now, I've always made the case that Josh needs more playing time, and I think he's going to catch a gear. Here's a guy who I believe was an all-star some years ago, and he's kind of a spark, and he's had a couple of good games. And like Owen said, you know what? He had a slow start, whatever, and maybe he doesn't like him, but there's more to tell. That was when he got hit in the back of the arm, nobody's ever seen that before. So he had the day off yesterday. June, Leury Garcia Let's see here. This was, July is almost here. Leury Garcia, this is a tweet from Sox Machine. Leury Garcia is slashing 188, 203, 253 with a minus one war. Mm-hmm. He will not be DFA'd because he's got a three-year deal. But again, correct. I ask you, do you want to see Josh on the field or Leury? You know, he went 0-3 last night. He's not playing the field well. I'm done with this love affair. I'm absolutely done. And then we have Lenin Sosa, who came up. Why can't we play this kid? We see these kids with the Orioles have this energy and this want to win. And why can't we play Lenin Sosa? Will he be in the lineup today?
Reminds me of Mark. Remember when Gordon Beckham was, Ozzie was like, he called him Bacon. Bacon? Like every question was like, when's Gordon Beckham coming up? Like he was the savior, right?
Yeah, right.
And Ozzie was incredulous, like Bacon? You know, like, you know, he basically said, if you think that kid coming up is going to save our season, then we're in trouble. You know, because it's not fair to put that kind of pressure on a kid coming up. I appreciate what you're saying. You want to see something different and maybe hopefully better.
Right.
But that your playoff aspirations and dreams and goals shouldn't rest on guys.
No, they don't. But let's sit Garcia already. He is underperforming, and we have this kid. No pressure. Just go in and play. See what you got.
Just get a spark.
Yeah, spark. That's it. I'm not putting playoff hopes on this kid's shoulders by any means.
See, my point is when you're getting to that point about hoping for the guys who aren't here to be up here because it will help the team. This team shouldn't need that help. They shouldn't need minor league guys
absolutely.
Coming in.
Absolutely, but this team, this is going to go down as one of the weirdest summers in baseball on both sides of town. You've got an inordinate amount of injuries to key players that we can't even. I mean, Rick Hahn was asked with Cap and Hoodie yesterday, how can you possibly assess what this team actually is when you're missing so many people, right? Well, and then the Cubs, you know, that's a different situation, but it's just a weird, weird happenstance in Chicago baseball. And with Lenin Sosa coming up, it's not because we are necessarily needing him to save the day. It's because we are so injured and we'd like to see what this kid can do. I mean, why not? It's an easy replacement for Garcia.
And you mentioned the other side of town. I mean, I never thought I'd see Kyle Hendricks with a 5 ERA and struggle against bad teams. And then he owns the Cardinals. And last night, 7 1/3, 6 strikeouts, 5 hits, 1 walk. And, I mean, he's got a career ERA of like 2.69. If he can start
in St. Louis.
Against St. Louis, too, all those starts against him, 25 career starts. The point is, if he can start getting back to being Kyle Hendricks, I would assume he's going to be on the trade list, too, because what's the point of keeping him around?
Absolutely. We're running against break. We're going to hit more baseball. Taking your calls, 312-332-3776. The Cubs will be sellers. Who's going by trade deadline? What is wrong with the White Sox? How can they get sustained success? There's so many things wrong, but what's the quickest path to sustained success? 312-332-3776. It's Hanley and Zander on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. Now, by your side through your smart speaker. Just tell it to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000 on 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN 1000 app. So we've got the Twitter poll, Brian, that you came up with. It's based off of what Steve Stone said. There was RK Hendricks 11 tweeted, asked if it was bad Sox coaching or lazy players. Steve Stone said, draw your own conclusions. So the choices are bad coaching, lazy players, both, neither. And if you want to write in, if they're tired, because that's something that Steve Stone said, that they're tired. I don't know if you're of that opinion, write it in.
Yeah, hurt, tired, but definitely not soft. And then that led to a whole, what's the definition of soft? Can be soft mentally, not just physically.
Sure.
And you appreciate Stoney saying, anyone who grinds to get to the major league level or has that talent isn't soft because of what it takes to get there. It's you're an elite athlete, but some people said, okay, what about the players who get there and all of a sudden, you know, get a little comfortable? And figure
complacent.
That,
sure. Yeah. Sure. And then, I mean, you know, it's a legitimate question. I know it's a grind, but we have seen, and again, there could be the argument, Steve Stone's brought it up before, and he's a guy who's been through training camp. You had COVID, then you had the shortened year, the screwed up training camp, then you had the shortened training camp. How much that plays in, we really don't know. All I know is that it seems like the White Sox are suffering more than other teams, and that does not add up. 312-332-3776. Go ahead.
Owen, our caller, who was just getting, he had a whole list, and we only had a 90-minute show, but he was just getting warmed up about the issues. He brought up Giolito. Now, it's five consecutive starts where the home run balls bit him in the rear end. He's got a 5.4 ERA, but his home run per nine inning, 2.13. You know, you have to go that's almost two-thirds, three-quarters of a point worse than it's been since you've been with the White Sox.
It's alarming.
I mean, it's just that you can't allow one or two of those, and next thing you know, he's given up four or five run leads. He's dug holes, and he's just average right now. I mean, 5.40, that's not even average. You need better from him. But again, Stoney said it's been a team effort because you expected better from this pitching staff, bullpen, starters, everybody. But it's the defense. It's the fundamentals. It's the inconsistent offense. It's the non-existent offense. It's the bad coaching. It's the questioning of the manager. It's the questioning of the roster. You are three games under 500. And the question on the table is, maybe are you just a 500 team? Is that possibly what you are, no matter what your expectations were coming into the season?
Well, you know what? Look, it's hard to ignore that possibility, even though we were sold. And by our eyes and ears, we agreed, a lot of us Sox fans said, that we were better than a 500 team. But it is what it is right now, and that's what's shocking. Now, last night, Michael Kopech pitched, didn't have a great game, certainly didn't have the run support. Here's some post-game audio from our pitcher, Michael Kopech.
Definitely didn't have my best stuff or feel for it. I threw with what I had, and unfortunately, that's all I had tonight. I got to do a better job in big situations. The box unacceptable. And then, you know, two out walks and about pitches. Those guys can't come around either. So I just didn't execute when I should have, and made it tough for us to, you know, keep them at bay. So it was a decent start considering what I had overall, but I don't think that was good enough, to say the least.
Did the umpire's explanation of the box make sense?
Yeah. I kind of let the moment get away from me and didn't realize I'd been wind up the whole time. I told them afterwards I thought I went wind up and went back to stretch, but I started wind up and then tried to switch to stretch. And it was the right call. I wasn't, you know, asked about it beforehand. With, you know, usually when there's a runner on third, they ask which one I'm going to do. They didn't ask, but still, I got to lock that in, do the right thing there. Just messed up.
What happened in the second? Do you understand kind of what happened in the second? I mean, it's kind of when you hit Mateo. Yeah.
I mean, they took offense to it, I guess, but, you know, 1-2 pitch. I'm trying to rear back and do a little bit more. Flew open, ball got away from me. Definitely not trying to hit a guy with two strikes and two outs, especially a guy that's not doing too much to the plate. So, I don't know. Situation kind of escalated, but then we settled back in. So,
did you say something? Did the bench say something?
Some guys hopped the rail on me and started talking, and that's why things escalated, but we were able to get back out there.
Well, that was Michael Kopech post-game last night after the 4-1 loss. He certainly had listed all his issues, and he saved us the trouble, Brian. He's right. I mean, he sounds like he knows exactly what went wrong and how it went wrong. How do you fix it? You know, the balk was unfortunate that somebody was on third, but he was right. The thing that really, really bothered me was letting those runners go around and those two-out walks. Makes sense that he didn't hit Moreno on purpose, but they certainly did want to make something of it.
And look, he said it was a decent outing given all the things that were going against him He threw 54% strikes, which is down from the 62% average. Mm-hmm. So the walks hurt him. He wasn't in the zone. He had the hit by pitch. He had the wild pitch that scored a run. He had the balk. That said, it was a decent outing. He got through six innings. Your offense better come up with four or five runs.
No, that's exactly right. Look, so if we had the offense given what he did, we could have won that game.
Sure,
even though he did not have a great game.
Offense was indecent. He was decent. You didn't have anyone on base after the third inning. I mean, come on. No one reached. What are you doing here? I mean, what's the point of the exercise? Against Austin Voth, 8.39 ERA, and Brian Baker, 5.60 ERA. It's not Justin Verlander. And you get credit for beating up Justin Verlander. Beat the hell out of these two guys.
Yes, makes no sense. Steve in Elmwood Park wants to jump in before we hit break. Hey, Steve, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Hey, I got an opinion on this. I know you guys were talking about the players, and yes, a lot of blame comes on their part too, but I really think it's a management thing. Last year, okay, you know, like La Russa came in, they were feeling good. Maybe they got motivated. The fire is not there anymore, and they got to find a way to get that fire back because everyone, in my personal opinion, will play better when they have something to play for. And now it just feels like they don't respect maybe the top, and it's a trickle-down effect. That where is it? That interview right there sounded deflated completely. A guy who's, like, just emotionally gone. And unless I read an article about hockey, for instance, the Avs versus Red Wings series, when they had that fire, both of them won. You know, like five titles within a certain stretch. It's you got to find the motivation, and it's not there right now.
Is that the TLR problem, Steve?
Yeah, I think it's TLR definitely, because it seems like, you know, even Rick Hahn, I feel bad for him. I know you guys think differently, but like Rick Hahn did not want that guy.
No, I don't necessarily think differently. No. I think that TLR That's thing absolutely. Was forced on him.
Yeah, and he,
yeah,
but the
and
problem
it,
is,
it's like it, he's going to be stuck. Like, how would I put it? Like, even I'm comparing different sports, but like the Bulls when they had to fire the coach and it was Paxson who was the GM. I blame Paxson during that era. And it's like the fall down comes to a certain person. It's going to come down to Hahn eventually. But I think it's La Russa, and it's just created a bad atmosphere.
Thanks for the call, Steve. We appreciate it.
You know,
that could be, and that comes under bad coaching on our Twitter poll.
Well, Mark, we both agree that Rick Hahn, I mean, he stood up there and said, it's been decided that Tony La Russa is the best person for the job. I mean, he didn't say I hired him.
Right, and, right. There is no doubt. And that's why when people come down on Rick Hahn, it's really hard because his hands are tied. Yes, he's made some – people want to question some player moves or whatever. But if Rick Hahn had his manager in place, who would that be? And would that be a different result right now? We don't
know. Well, and look, if the manager's not going because Jerry's got this undying love and that he wants to right the wrong from 30, 40 years ago, and there's loyalty. So at some point, if you want to make changes in the coaching staff, can you really do that? Because any other team who had aspirations for a World Series, the manager would be gone. Right or wrong, the manager would be gone right now because this part of the late in the season,
yep,
injuries or no, you're not achieving to anywhere near what the expectations were.
You're absolutely right. Yep. Yep. One more call before we hit break real quick. Ron on the south side joins us on ESPN 1000. Hey, Ron.
Hey, good morning, guy. You know what? This team is fortunate to be a few games under 500. It's not even an average team. I know you mentioned, you know, it's a 500. It's not a 500 team. If you look
technically at, right now, they're not.
Yeah, but, you know, if you look at every facet of this team, they're not good at defense. They do not walk. The offense is bad. Even the starting pitching now is not reliable. But here's my question. They said World Series or bust. They're not go. It's a possibility they won't even make the playoffs. Oh, so what does that bust? So what does bust mean, huh?
I don't know. Maybe they break it up. Maybe they sell it to trade deadline if they're two or four or five games back behind the wild or out of the wild card. Ron, thanks for the call. We got to hit break here. You know, it's a good question. What is bust? I mean, I know that's what Rick Hahn said. That's what he's supposed to say. We're going to the World Series. That is highly unlikely. We don't even know what they're going to do in the playoffs, if they can even secure and keep a wild card position right now, which is the sad state of affairs, Brian. We'll get back to talking about that. We've got Jim and Aurora on hold. We'll get to him. 312-332-3776. Hanley and Xander on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
I see this for years, but what's with you and the Cardinals?
You know, I'll just keep it going. Just try and make it good pitches, you know. Like I said, I still got to just keep rolling with it and use what I did today and build on it. But yeah, I don't know. Just got to keep getting lucky against them.
Kyle Hendricks talking about his domination of the Cardinals. Won the game last night down in St. Louis. It was on Apple TV. Brian, did you catch the broadcast? The awesome broadcast?
It was, for a couple of things. Kyle hurt my system where anytime the Cubs have a lead, I bet the opposing team in game.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. That didn't quite work out for you.
Well, it was only their fourth win in the last 18 games, so I think I'll be okay. But he has dominated the Cardinals down in St. Louis, 6-1 career, 2.45 ERA. And 13-3 over the lifetime of his career, no matter where he faces him, 2.69. So it was good to see. I think everyone likes the professor. You know, everyone likened him to Greg Maddux in terms of not having 100-mile-an-hour fastball, but fastball changed last night, mixed up, and did well enough. But to answer your question, it was between that, watching the Sox, because it was like, you know, just trying to figure out the White Sox. It's almost like a therapy session. And then you had a hockey game that's tied in the Stanley Cup Finals in the third period. Yep. So I'm going back and forth between the Sox and the Hawks more than the Cubs.
Anything weird you hear on the Apple TV broadcast last week? I told you about how they thought that Andrew Vaughn was this guy that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Every time I see an Apple TV broadcast now, I'm going to look for that little nugget that is
just
so
of information.
Far off a base.
Yeah. No.
No, no. But, you know, we've got Jim that wants to jump on from Aurora, sure, asking about the Cubs games on Marquee. Hey, Jim, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, guys, adding to this whole baseball summer of disappointment here, you guys are hitting on it here a little bit here. It's happened, like, again, last night, a couple weeks ago. It was twice in 1 week. I turned the game on for Marquee. Whenever they're on YouTube, Apple, some of these other, you know, baseball sponsored networks, isn't the point of having your own network to have the fans know that the game is going to be there for you with your announcers, with your at all the time? I called them a couple weeks ago when they were out in Arizona, and actually at 9 o'clock I got a operator at Marquee, even though I think it was a call center in Philippines, and they picked up. I'm serious.
Hey, what
did
they say?
Said, please have this call recorded to get to Ricketts. This is, it's ridiculous. Baseball shooting themselves in the foot. Marquee is not enjoying. You never know where to find the games anymore again.
Yeah, you know, Jim, and I think I can answer this. Major League Baseball mandates these different deals with these
So
the intention was for the Ricketts to broadcast as many games as possible on Marquee, and then MLB steps in and says, no, this game has to be here, and this game has to be here. So that's where the confusion comes. I'm sure the Ricketts would like to have everything on Marquee, but it's really out of their hands.
Now, hold on, because they get the best of all worlds, Mark. They get their Marquee money, and how much do you think Apple's paying for that? And every owner gets
sure. They're certainly making money off of it. But I think it's a Major League Baseball mandate, Brian.
Of course it is. But follow the money. It's a network contract. It's a network contract. I mean, you got to get used to Apple Plus being a network, but it's one more revenue source for MLB to divide up among all its owners. So they're all loving it. I mean, who cares what the fans, you know, inconveniences are.
Absolutely. 312-332-3776. It's confusing. And for the ordinary average baseball fan that maybe isn't streaming, they just have cable, like, you know, it's 20 years ago. You know, it's confusing. You just want to go where you know the game is, and it's going to be reliable. And then there are issues with streaming. Last night, kind of a funny and unfortunate story. I have never let so many F-bombs out in a row, or I haven't in a while, at the TV. I have a TV. I'm not going to mention the brand name, but it starts with a V. Don't buy it. A V, oh. Not a Z, a V.
Okay.
Anyway, the fight happens. Yeah, you know, the Kopech hits Moreno, and that happens, and my daughter calls, and I wanted to take the phone call. So instead of pausing it, I just muted it. And then when the phone call was over, I went to rewind, and the TV doesn't – no, because it just – you know, it barely streams the game.
Yeah.
And it just froze. And by the time I got everything back on, it was down the line, and I was just absolutely furious. So there are challenges with streaming services, and depending on what TV you have or whatever. So, you know, technology, it's great and everything, but you often don't know where the games are, or if you are streaming, like on an Apple TV or whatever, you know, there could be issues depending on what equipment
you
have.
What?
So it's not ease of use necessarily.
Unfortunately, you missed the Sox 6-run inning.
I wish. 312-332-3776. So we've got that Twitter poll, and we're getting some votes this morning on it. Again, what's going on with the Sox? Is it Sox coaching, lazy players? Is it both or neither? Or all of the above? Or write in your own answers.
Call in your own answers.
Yeah, they're calling your own answers. You know the number, 312-332-3776. Lots of challenges. And, of course, the game is going to be played today at Guaranteed Rate Field. They don't have a great record at home. That's got to change. There's no way you're going to have sustained success into the playoffs if you can't play well at home.
There's no way to get to the playoffs if you can't win at all.
That's right. I'm trying to be optimistic.
I know.
It's very hard.
Hey, look, it's just, this is what, 6-7 weeks where we're looking at the same record, the same run differential, the same issues. Can't win at home. Can't beat good teams. Can't sustain success.
Can't beat mediocre teams. That's even worse.
You win a couple games, start feeling good about yourself, and, you know, feel good about certain players. And next thing you know, it's a 3-game losing streak, even though Tim Anderson's back. It's just, it's mind boggling. It's frustrating. It's, and there's no easy answer. The easy answer in baseball, always launch the manager. You can't fire can't fire 25, now 28, whatever the hell it is, but you can fire the one, whether it matters or not, or how many games a manager matters at the end of the season. Even we had one caller said the team looks tough.